there any disclosure of pecuniary interest?
Just on the special counsel.
Just on the special counsel? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to 3.1, regarding Gardner Crescent, the property on Gardner Crescent. Rebecca?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The town has received an application for a zoning bylaw amendment from Jody and Melissa Fleming. The subject property is located at 8035 Gardner Crescent. The purpose of the zoning bylaw amendment is to change the zoning from residential first density zone to a site-specific R113 zone. The effect of the zoning bylaw will be to permit a proposed accessory structure in the exterior side yard, reducing the exterior side yard minimum to 1.5 meters from the current requirements of 7.5 meters. The site-specific zoning will also allow for an increase in total accessory lot coverage of 11.6%. The regulation currently allows 10%. The zoning bylaw will result in increased accessory structure coverage, specifically of an extra 133 square feet. The property owner has committed to accessing the building only from the back in the rear yard, not from the front or the side yard. The notice of public meeting was published in the newspaper and circulated to the required agencies. FERC has stated that the lands are not located within the regulated area and that they had no objection. Engineering and Public Works identified no objection to the application. Building and Fire had no objection to the application as well. It is recommended that the zoning bylaw amendment be directed for approval at a future regular council meeting, pending comments received at this public meeting.
Thank you. Is there any comments from the public? Okay, is there any questions from council? Councilor Pryor?
I'll move receipt of the recommendation and that the pending council consideration in writing be considered at a future council meeting.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Levine. Any final questions or comments? All right, all those in favor? Passed. That brings us to 3.2 and 3.3, and I believe we have the planner, Emily Elliott, that will do a presentation.
Good evening, Mayor and members of Council. My name is Emily Elliott. I'm a planner with MHPC Planning, and we're representing Real Star Management Partnership with respect to the application for draft plan of condominium for 421 Dalhousie Street and 130 Pickering Drive. So there are two applications being considered tonight. For two separate properties. The first is 421 Dalhousie Street, which is shown as parcel A on the screen, and the second is 130 Pickering Drive. Both properties are under separate ownership, but managed by Real Star Management Partnership. So 421 Dalhousie is an eight-story apartment building that contains 45 units that include one, two, and three bedroom units. It has 63 parking spaces, including 46 underground spaces and 17 surface spaces, and is accessed by two entrances from Dalhousie Street. The second property is 130 Pickering Drive. It's also an eight-story apartment building, and it contains 74 one- and two-bedroom units, the majority of which are one-bedroom units. It has 106 parking spaces, including 54 underground and 52 surface spaces, and is accessed by an entrance from Pickering Drive, which is included over adjacent lands. So the proposal tonight is for the conversion of the existing apartment building from rental to condominium tenure. The proposed plan is a condo, or both standard condos, so they include common elements and units. It's the intention of the owner in both cases to maintain the units or the buildings as rental apartments. So the condo conversions are requested for administrative, legal, and financial reasons only, and there will be no impact on the current leases, no change in operation or management at the buildings, no rent increases, and tenant security is also guaranteed through the Residential Tenancies Act, and there will also be no construction or demolition on the site. So Real Star is the property manager. They're privately owned real estate investment and management company. They manage approximately considerations for condo conversions that are set out in both of those documents. So in the County of Essex official plan, both properties are designated as settlement areas and the existing development conforms to the official plan. Policy 4.6.2 establishes policies related to condo conversions, and these policies are intended to protect the stock of affordable and rental housing. In the Town of Amherstburg official plan, both properties are designated high-density residential, and the existing development conforms to the official plan. The Amherstburg official plan also provides policies related to condominium conversions and establishes criteria to be evaluated in considering these applications. So generally speaking, the conversion criteria are set up on this slide. So the first consideration is housing affordability. In preparing these applications, Altus Group economic consultants were retained to analyze the impact of the conversions on affordable housing. Altus Group relied on the definition of affordable housing contained in the county official plan and determined that there would be no impact on affordable rental housing supply as the owner intends to maintain the units as rental. Currently, 41 of the 45 units at 421 Dalhousie are considered to be affordable, and all of the units at 130 Pickering Drive are considered to be affordable. So there will be no impact on that. There is, however, the potential for some rent reductions under the Residential Tenancies Act, where there's a realty tax savings over 2.49%, residents will receive a rent reduction. So depending on the amount of rent reduction, additional units may be considered affordable. The second consideration is the rental housing market impact. So again, no impact to the supply of rental housing will occur as units are not proposed to be sold, and existing tenants would be protected under the Residential Tenancies Act. Vacancy rates are another consideration. So the current vacancy rate is 1.6%. This is set out by CMHC annually in the fall. Historically, in Amherstburg, vacancy rates have been stable. There will be no impact to the vacancy rate as the buildings are to be maintained as rental. The last consideration is the building condition impact. So a building condition assessment is typically required as a condition of approval for condo conversions, and this means that identified improvements to bring the building to current municipal standards would be undertaken prior to registration of the condos. So in summary, the plans conform to the county and the town OP and are consistent with the PPS. The applications satisfy the criteria for conversion established in the county and the town OP. There will be no impact to the supply of rental housing. All units are intended to be maintained as rental. Tax savings resulting from the conversion may result in rent reductions for tenants. Tenant security is guaranteed through the Residential Tenancy Act, and draft plan approval conditions and a condominium agreement would be required for these. So that's the end of my presentation. If you have any questions, we'd be pleased to answer them.
I will go to the public first if there's any questions, comments. Mr. Hall.
Mr. Mayor, I noticed that there's talk about possibility of rent reductions, but I just want to make sure there would not be the any rent increase due to the upgrades, the improvements that might occur. So as in addition to the conversion itself, so as a direct result of the conversion and the building, the BCA, I think it's called. But I just want to, should I be speaking on this?
You can, if you like.
Right. A lot of mention about that the tax savings could result in a rent reduction, but I just want to make sure that there's no rental increase, which would be due to the upgrades, the improvements that might occur. And in the representation, the written representation I made to you, I mentioned about the usually when condo conversions are occurring, it's because there might be major expenses occurring, such as elevator improvements, improvements to make sure there's no leakage in the roof, or which, actually, I live on the 8th floor. I guess I should have said that. I live on the top floor of 421 Dalhousie, and in my Lastly, I can notice that there's discoloration in the ceiling, which in the past has indicated that there's leaking in the roof. And so there might have to be a roof repair as part of the improvements. I just want to make sure that these improvements, upgrades, and the condo conversion itself, all those costs will be absorbed by RealStar and not passed on to the tenants eventually through a rent increase. And I notice on page 10 of this planning justification report, it talks about the Planning Act allows the town and the county to impose conditions on the approval for the condo conversion. And on pages 15 and 16, it also mentions that the RealStar will reach an agreement with the approving authority, which I assume is the county, but also the county in consultation with the town, that there be this agreement which is registered on title. So some of these conditions, if they could be put into that agreement and then registered on title, so that there's no particular changes after the condo conversion occurs. So my main interest is making sure there's no rental increase as a direct result of this condo conversion and the upgrades and improvements. So that's my question to, I suppose, as a resident of the town, this is being done as for tax savings. And you're the representatives of the town. And I notice in Windsor, there's been some condo conversions in the Windsor Star that were turned down because the city did not want to lose the tax that they were collecting. So as a resident of town, aside from being somebody that lives at the place, you might want to consider what you're going to be doing if there are tax savings to RealStar. Will those taxes be imposed onto the rest of the municipality? So other municipalities, I understand Toronto has now banned condo conversions. They're running out of apartment units. And also I gather from the tax point of view, they didn't want to lose the taxes. So that's as a resident, concerned resident of the town, as opposed to a tenant in the building. So, but my essential question is, will there be an agreement not to increase rents as a result of the condo conversion, the upgrades, and the improvements? Thank you very much.
Through your worship, I would suggest to council that is beyond council's purview. The Ontario Rental Housing Tribunal has the authority on rental increases, not town council. I can appreciate the presentation made by our resident, but there is a separate judicial body that has the ability to allow for increases that are beyond the prescribed rate, and I would suggest that's not council's jurisdiction.
Councilor Puglia.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Mr. Riccelli, but saying that Mr. Hall's concerns are my concerns too. And if I may, Mr. Mayor, may I direct my questioning to Rebecca?
Mm-hmm.
According to the Amherstburg official plan, the conversion of rentals to condos presents a more difficult situation rather than new construction. And you go on to explain why, because the new construction is up to date. They have specific mandates on how a building is to be built, where the older buildings didn't have that, and it might require very expensive upgrades, and which in the end could require rent increases. But you mentioned risk analysis. There's some risk to the municipality. Would you please elaborate more on that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just a couple of comments in response to that. At the time
conversion?
Talking in the official plan and saying risk to condo conversion because they're not up to date. That is a requirement today, that building code audits have to be done, so that will be addressed. The other matter that's been addressed.
Would that be including the balconies?
Yes, definitely.
The safety of the balconies?
Yes, for sure, yeah. The other concern in the past, that is not a concern today, is the protection of the rental units. So historically, that was a concern, that there's a conversion and there's, that there would be an issue in that regard. There's a commitment that these will continue in an agreement for a 10-year, a minimum 10-year period, that they will be maintained as rental units, because we do in Amherstburg certainly have the need for rentals, and that's also being protected through this process.
And further to that, Rebecca, I know it states on page 5 of 8 that they talk about the 10-year rentals, but I don't see that. Please correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see that anywhere in the letter that they sent to the residents, that it would be just a 10-year limit. Like, I don't see that in the letter that was sent to the residents, that it was a 10-year, and then after that it could be forced upon them.
I'll respond to part of that, Mr. Mayor, but we may need Real Star or MHPC to comment on some of that. Certainly throughout their planning justification report, they committed to a minimum 10-year rental period. And as well, we have the ability through the draft conditions approval and ultimately the agreement to put in place the appropriate protection mechanisms.
Did you want to speak to that?
So we heard a few questions and concerns. I'd like to speak to a couple of them. So the first one would be the loss of tax revenue for the municipality. There are no policies in County OP or the Planning Act that require municipal taxes to be considered in plan of condo conversion applications. So in this case, it's not a planning consideration. Municipal taxes are regulated apart from the Planning Act, and these applications are being made under the Planning Act, and the OP doesn't contain any policies with respect to that. In terms of the agreement, that Dave Katrina from Real Star is here as well. So, as I mentioned in my presentation, Real Star has completed many condo conversions over the past 10 to 15 years and have never sold a unit. It's not their intention to sell these units. The agreement for the 10-year guarantee was more to give comfort that the purpose of these applications is not for the sale of individual units. It's an administrative financial strategy.
So I'm Dave Katrina. I'm the Director of Construction and Property Standards for Real Star Management. And just to be clear, we are the managers of the building, so we're not the owner. It's two separate entities. So we operate and we look after the buildings at Pickering Tower and Dalhousie. So one of the questions that came up, there's a whole bunch, and I try to make a note of all of them, so stop me if you have others as well, and I can answer as many as I can. I guess the first question that this gentleman brought, his name was Terry?
Yeah, Hall.
Mr. Hall. He had brought up a piece of the Residential Tenancies Act that allows landlords to recoup significant expenditures back from their residents. So if you incur a roof leak, or you have to replace a roof, or you have to replace an elevator, there are things in the legislation, in the RTA, that would allow a landlord to go through a due process and try to recover some of that, those funds. In this case here, the RTA will always govern. So it governs now, and it governs after we convert to condo. So it's a moot point. It won't matter whether or not we're condo or not. The RTA will always govern in one way or another. So that was one question. As far as the upgrades, he brought up a good point. And I think he has some very good points. As far as elevators or roofs, you know, and I can speak to history. So I've looked after six of these conversions or so. In those building condition assessments, it's very rarely that a performance item, such as they recommend a new roof or a new elevator, come up. So it's never happened in the past. We're aware, I'm an engineer, a licensed engineer, visit the building often, so we know what's coming up. It's not our intent to use this condo conversion as a tool to recoup money. So it's simply, we're governed by the RTA now, and we're governed by it after. We're not trying to introduce any new rules into the mix. There was another question about the letter. So in the letter, I think Emily had addressed that there is no 10-year promise that was given to the municipality. But in that letter, it does suggest that you are protected by the RTA, and you also are protected by your current lease. So let me finish this. In the event, in that letter, it says, in the event that if the owner was going to sell, which is not our intent, but hypothetically, if we were looking to sell, the resident would have the first right to buy, and if that was, if they didn't choose to buy, they would have a lifetime lease at the building, governed by their lease. So there are many things that are protecting the current residents, and it's not our intent to try to sell these units. And I think those were the three that I had down. Was there any other questions?
Yeah, my main concern that hasn't been answered, why didn't all the residents receive the same letter that council received stating that it was a 10-year
term?
Like, they might believe that this is going to go on,
mm-hmm.
but yet that stipulation was put in there, and I think they have a right to know that the same way as we know it.
Yeah, so we use the same letter with all our conversions. I think it's very well written, and the 10-year agreement is a good thing, but they're ultimately protected by the RTA and their current lease, which I think is even a better promise, better commitment than that 10-year guarantee. That 10-year guarantee is just our way of trying to build that trust with you. You know, it's not our intent to try to sell these buildings. Does that make sense? You seem a little...
I'm still not convinced of that, because I think there would be more people here if they understood that there is a 10-year period and their rentals could end after 10 years. I think that might be a big concern for some of them that are
right.
Just going in now.
So we've provided two notices to our residents. We're always transparent with all our conversions, not just Amherstburg. So, I think there's not very many residents here. I think most people feel comfortable with what Realstar stands for and the way we rent our buildings. I don't know what else. Like, I think the RT is a superior
but I
said
tool. More people would be here, I believe, if they knew there was a 10-year clause in there that was omitted from their letters.
Councillor Mosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When you undertook the proposal, we'll say to convert, you would have done an assessment on the building, would you have?
Sorry, say that again?
You would have done an assessment on the building?
Yeah, so we...
Capital requirements, operational type issues, like normal wear and tear items, like roofs, okay, are one thing,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, structural issues on a building are usually something outside of normal wear and tear. So I'm just curious as to, in my biggest concern was, what I wrote down is the transfer of burden, as you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
But I guess there's some comfort in knowing that you're still regulated, or that residents are protected by regulation, but still concerned about what that burden will be, I guess. You know, are you looking at structural? Are you looking at wear and tear? Now you're looking at that, making that conversion.
Yeah, so with our buildings at Realstar, condo or not, there's only 15 of our buildings of the couple hundred, 150 that we have in our portfolio. We undertake the same process where we have engineers looking at our buildings constantly. Our buildings, I feel confident that most of our buildings are at the top of their league when you go from municipality to municipality, they're in great condition. But back to the point that I made with Mr. Hall, is that the rules are the same before and after the conversion happens, so there's no transfer of burden. We're not changing anything. The RTA still governs, which protects the residents.
One last question. There was talk about reduction in tax. Does the treasurer have any information with respect to what the impact might be to us?
Well, I can provide some clarity on that. The condo unit will, the resident will be going from a resident, a multi-res tax rate to a residential tax rate, so there is a, sorry. It will be changing from a multi-res tax rate to a residential tax rate. However, it is very difficult to predict what financial impact that will have to the municipality, as they are going to be undertaking significant capital improvements, and likely a reassessment of the property's value will take place from MPAC. So at this time, the best we can do is provide a range of financial impact, and that's outlined in the report between $8,900 and $13,300 per year in 2018 dollars. It's very difficult to predict what it will be in the future, but that's the range.
On the whole unit.
On the whole
complex,
yes.
So
on both units, yes.
Sorry, you're talking 8 to 13,000.
Correct.
So
it's just very difficult because until MPAC finalizes an assessment value, it's a range.
I would agree with that as well. Thank you,
Councilor Courtney. Okay, if there's no further questions, I'm looking for a couple motions. Councilor Pryor?
I move receipt of 3.2 and 3.3 and move both motions at the same time. Concurrence.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Melange. All those in favor? Carry. And motion to adjourn. Councilor Pryor? Councilor Levine? All those in favor? Carry.